Government school shootings data paint a grim portrait until NPR starts digging. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Mack Weldon. It's a premium men's essentials brand that Jimmy often wears to this podcast. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code CLNS at checkout. We're also powered by Little Part Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. For more, check out LittlePartMedia.com or contact info at LittlePartMedia.com. So a reporter at NPR gets some interns to help out. Boy, interns are great. Well, they can be great.
They're indentured servants. Well, come on. I mean, they're supposed to be getting some kind of college credit. I get it. But yeah, well, I really do believe that they should be paying all interns.
Well,
even
some
though,
are.
Even though in 1977, when I had my internship at WBZ, that kind of changed my career and my life around,
you
I just got college credit for it.
I got college credit for all mine, and I'm thankful for that experience because I was able to do some really good stuff and learn from some good people out there.
Right.
And I think that helped my career. But in this case, we like interns.
Yep.
And these interns were put to the task of trying to track down these government numbers about school shootings. Now, we've talked about these numbers before.
Yes, we have. Yes. And we've talked about this very thing. And it is the U.S. Education Department who put out this poll for the 2015-2016 school year and came up with this kind of a much larger number than was expected, let's just say. And Dan, just without, if you didn't know, it's a little tough to ask this, right?
Okay.
But if you walked
unring the bell.
You know what the number is. You know what the number is, right? If I were to ask you, we know that there have been school shootings in the last school year.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, how many do you think there have been?
I would have said 19 or 20.
And I would have said under 10.
Yeah, okay, but we're close.
Right.
We are close enough.
In the dozens. Among dozens.
Among dozens.
Right?
Right, exactly.
When you see that number 240, that opens your eyes.
Right away you're saying...
Where'd they get that from?
Which I think is the reason that they began this investigation, because the number just seemed...
Too big to be true.
And I mean that with all due respect for those who have been who have lost their lives. Because this is, look, if there's one school shooting, it's a bad thing. One school shooting is a disaster. It's
correct.
For that one family who's lost, especially if someone's been, their life has been taken, that's a bad thing. But when you have these big numbers and then you find out that those numbers don't add up with reality, then that's where you start scratching your head and going, how does something like this happen?
Right. Well, again, if you've ever tried to get into a school during the school day, I will say that it has become far more difficult now than it was before Columbine, certainly.
Right.
That being said, kids know how to get in and out of school without going through that front door.
Well, they do. And it's not, look, this is not to say that it's not a problem, number one, and that there shouldn't be these ongoing conversations. And even more beyond that, there are a lot of communities, and even at the federal level, where lawmakers are trying to figure out ways to make schools safer. Yesterday on the radio, I heard a conversation about there was a, and maybe this was more of an attention grabber, but here in Boston, they had a fashion show, I think it was last weekend, where they had people walking not with fancy long dresses and so forth, but they were wearing Kevlar.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the most disturbing things, one of the most disturbing things about this article that we both read over the last 24 hours, children are spending class time on active shooter drills, and their parents are buying bulletproof backpacks.
Yes, they are. And all kinds of stuff. I don't know how, like if you search, you know, for devices, I think I was searching for something the other day having to do with school shootings. And now all of the items that companies are putting out there to help protect kids in schools keep popping up on my feed. One of them is some sort of thing that you can put over the hinge of the door, you know, those long ones, you could put it over so it kind of locks the door. All of these kinds of things. Another one, it's a jam. You can jam underneath the door. So there are all these conversations, these businesses that are making money, and lawmakers trying to figure out how can we keep our kids safe at school. But you have to also keep everything within the context or understand the context. While this is a major issue that has to be addressed, 240 is far different from what the NPR reporters found, which is 11.
Right. And what I say, it doesn't. So I wasn't too far off. But wait, go back to that. The other problem was in how they were asking and what they considered
exactly.
to be a shooting. And having a photo of a student holding a gun posted on Facebook.
That was what, right.
Is not a shooting.
So anytime
but it is
there
a
was
it's gun a incident.
Gun incident. And that's the problem. Part of it is right. in the reporting of it. But it would seem to me that if you're going to put something out like this that potentially has such huge impact.
Right.
That you need to then dig a little deeper in the numbers.
Right.
Was it someone who just said, I have a gun, and it turns out they didn't?
Yeah.
Was it a call that came into the school that they didn't know who made the call of a threat that never existed? All of those things add up to these numbers. And so then you have to then, as these young reporters did, interns, they made phone calls. They actually
talked to people.
They talked to people,
the
Jimmy.
People who got the survey, who took the survey and filled out the survey.
The school, yeah.
The school. And it was, and of course, the education department, that gives them an out. Well, you know, we rely on the school districts to
right.
go through this and get this. And then, obviously, they're not getting to the right person. And when they do get to the right person, the person explains, I didn't realize that I was, you know, that goes as a gun incident.
Right. They didn't know when they check a box, the way right. that the question was asked, they didn't realize how this would be used or in that particular way. So there was some murkiness around the actual reporting mechanism here. And then you come out with such a big number like this.
Yeah.
Here's what my takeaway from this whole story. Number one, I think everybody needs to be, before you put numbers out there, the government or anybody else, you really need to give a little bit more context to that or dig a little deeper or try a little harder to justify these numbers that you're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think I look at this as I get a little smile when I see this because this is old school reporting.
That's because you're talking to people
yeah.
directly.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not curating information and sending it out onto social media.
No.
You are actually talking to people, doing your job, asking the right questions, getting the answers, and then reporting on those facts.
Oh, yeah. I remember some of my early days in the news business when I worked in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at WDEF. I would go out. And, you know, you're looking for someone to talk on a particular subject. You couldn't just Google it.
Right.
There was no Google. There
right.
were no computers at
right.
that time.
So where did you go for, like, political experts or educational experts? Where would you find them, Dan,
you know,
being that,
you, there were lots
that
of,
award-winning reporter that you were?
There were lots of paperback books. So there was a one for sources.
If you authors?
Had, yeah.
Oh,
you have,
oh
if you,
okay.
No,
right.
Like
who's
you
been
go,
published?
You go, yeah. Is there someone who... There were always these resource guides that were put
yep.
out by various organizations. You would go to the Chamber of Commerce. If you were looking for a business in a particular area, you could go, hey, do you have a resource guide to, because we're looking for an expert on X.
Yep.
The other thing that we did is we looked in the phone book and we called people up and we walked down streets and knocked on doors. You know, you started with zero and had to go out and dig like crazy to come up with something.
To get experts, I know, especially at New England Cable News, where I worked for many years, they would go to a lot of the colleges.
Ah, yeah.
You know, the expert on political science. Right. And you call up a PR department of
a
college.
And they usually had a book of some sort and said, if you're looking to talk to
someone. One of our professors just wrote a book on that.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So you could go that way.
Exactly.
So that was the
Does that make them expert if they get published, by the way?
Well.
No, but they can talk about the subject intelligently.
I think that whole issue of who is an expert is kind of bizarre because there are people out there. I remember, what's the name of the guy? He was a reporter. He's on CNN. He's been on for a while. He made a career out of interviewing Bin Laden. And that was it. All of a sudden, he became an expert on Bin Laden. And he went out and he wrote a book and he makes money and he's become like a national security expert and so forth. It's interesting how one thing can turn you into an expert. And then there's the person who is the real expert just grinding it out, sitting in a back room somewhere at a library.
That nobody knows about.
Nobody knows. The tree falling in the forest.
Right, which is really too bad.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, but that's how you find... Look, if you could talk intelligently about a subject, and I believe... Look at both sides of that subject because everything
or
is
more
subject.
Sides.
Subject, right? Subject
yeah,
to interpretation
right.
of the facts.
Right.
Okay, present the facts, and then you're going to talk to people who are looking at those facts, interpreting them as far as they are concerned. Their
right.
focus. This is in my experience. This is how I look at this fact, and how I'm going to spin it, if you will.
But ultimately, when you are talking about numbers, it is more than just dealing with an expert. It's going to the source and saying, you were counted as victim number one, or you were counted as being part of this on this list. Were you? Yes or no? And there's your answer. You're going to the person, you know, and reaching out to them directly. And I think maybe this shows that that's still happening and that's a good thing. Maybe there needs to be more of that, because nowadays we love to throw numbers around, especially because it's so easy to just look that stuff up online and say a certain percentage of this. You don't even know how the poll has been done. And so we need to be more careful about the kinds of numbers that we throw around until we make sure we know the source of those numbers.
Right. And, you know, I'm teaching at the college level down at Dean College this fall, and sourcing was a big topic of discussion during orientation because, as we know, some college students do not like to do the job or the homework that is assigned to them.
Oh, really? Is that a new thing, or is that something that's been
going on for generations?
I wonder, Stephen, do you...
Oh, yeah, we have a college student amongst us. I forgot.
That's right. Stephen, tell us what you think about that.
Stephen, have you ever plagiarized a paper? Come on, cut to the chase.
Plagiarized? No, it's doing the work.
Really, because the thing is, you only plagiarize if you don't source.
Yes.
That's what I was talking
about. Everything has a source.
Right. That's right. So you just have to make sure. It's transparency. It's saying, where did you get this information from?
Which is why I ask young people when I teach to give me their opinions about something, not do research on a subject and then just source it out. I mean, I really want them to think about something.
But again, the flag here is that even the government numbers that you might use as your source for something may not be correct.
So your opinions are being based on misinformation is what we're talking about here. Well, it's a danger, I guess.
So I also think is if your gut tells you that something seems a little high, as it did with you and I when we were first hearing about this, then you need to say, well, wait a minute. I don't care that it came from the government. I don't care that it came from some big education company, whoever it might be. Go and check it out. Dig a little deeper. Make a couple of phone calls. You might really get to the truth.
Right. And back to that again. Oh, here it is. Public schools. 96,000 public schools in our country.
Yeah.
Okay. And 240 represents less than 0.5%.
Right.
And now take it down to the NPR finding 11. Of what? 11?
Yes, exactly.
It barely registers. But as
again,
you and I have both said,
still
as parents,
still
if there's one, it's one too many.
That's right. Okay, if you like this episode, let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag #BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. Have any questions or comments, reach out to us at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.